Amen. I'm thankful I get to be here in Knobnoster. Pastor Merrick went from Walla Walla to Knobnoster. And, well, what the names, that always makes it. Now I get to be here, so my life is complete. So I've been at Walla Walla, now I'm in Knobnoster. But I am thankful for Calvary Baptist hosting this conference, and I'm thankful that you're here. I trust, you know, I was praying about and getting ready for this conference, and college conferences like this are a great opportunity for you to grow spiritually, to give attention to your spiritual life, and also it's a great opportunity for you to build relationships and friendships that are godly. Right? I was just at a fellowship meeting in Idaho a couple weeks, or I guess a week and a half ago, and I was talking to a couple. They were just celebrating 7 years of marriage, and they met at a college conference. So this might be the college conference for you. I don't know. Okay, we're going to get started. So I only have so much time. So 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you would turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. This passage of Scripture, it addresses believers in different phases of life, different marital statuses. You know, those that are married, those that are divorced, single, widows, and obviously, our conference, most of you being young adults, single adults, we're going to focus in on the verses, the portions of this chapter that address the unique challenges that you deal with, the things that come across your plate, the things that come into your mind. We're going to look at the verses that address that tonight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and then verse number 7. Let's look there. It says, "For I would," Paul writes, he says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he's single. "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Now, obviously, Paul, he's recognizing it's good to be single, and we're going to deal with that, but he also acknowledges that there is a natural desire to not be single. And so he looks down at verse 17, and he starts to really apply this in verse 17. He says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Okay, so he's dealing with believers. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those who know the Lord, who've been saved by the Lord. And he reminds them, you've been bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, you need to remember that you're about serving the Lord, not serving men. And look at verse 24. He really concludes this thought. He says, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." The title of this lesson or message is "Rest Content in God." Rest content in God. If you have a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you have the one relationship that you'll ever need. And we're gonna focus in on that. Let's pray. Father, I just ask your blessing on the preaching now. I know I've talked to you about this, and Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. And so, Lord, I pray you just fill me with your Spirit. I pray you'd work in hearts. Lord, I don't know the souls that are represented. I've met a few of them, and Lord, but you know them, Lord, better than they even know themselves, and you love them, and you have a plan for their life. And so, God, I pray that this message would, Lord, be used of you to work in their hearts and give them direction for their life. So I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. You know, our world today gives a lot of attention to your age group, the college and career age group. The world gives a lot of attention, and not in a good way. You know, companies, I was thinking about it, companies strive to get your attention. whether it's credit card companies or loan companies, right? They want to get your attention to encourage you to buy something that you can't afford, and then you're kind of hooked up with the debt, and you're hooked up with them, their company, for a while. Hollywood, social media, right? It glamorizes the freedom that comes with being a single young adult, and they make it seem so much fun, and, you know, the YOLO mentality, you only live once, so live however you want, and they glamorize immorality, they glamorize sin and partying and all that, the immorality that comes with that. I was thinking about our education system in America, the secular education system in America, that they want to open your mind. Right? They want to open your mind to their way of thinking, and they want to deconstruct the biblical foundation that some of you have been given growing up in church, perhaps. And they want to change your mind. They want to get you to doubt God. Right? There's the world gives a lot of attention to young adults. It's not just the teenagers; it's also young adults. Yeah, and I'm thankful that in a sinful world that's trying to capture your mind, because that's what the world's trying to do. So what the devil's trying to do is capture your mind. I'm thankful that in a culture that's trying to do that, we can come to a conference like this, and I can preach the Word of God and try to convey to you what the Word of God has to say to you in your situation and deal with it specifically. You know, the Bible, it has a lot to say regarding your age group and your demographic, if we could use that word. The book of Proverbs was written to young adults. Book of Proverbs was written to young adults. Ecclesiastes was written to young adults. Right? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Consider now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Right? Consider the Lord. And Paul, obviously, he's focusing in on singles. We know the Lord Jesus talks about singles as well. And I was thinking about it. We overlook it. But you look at Scripture, there's a lot of biblical characters, what we would call heroes of the faith, that God used when they were single. A few examples. David. He killed Goliath, not when he was married. He killed Goliath when he was a young man. Think about Elijah and Elisha. Those men were likely, from what we understand, they were single men. And they're calling fire down from heaven and calling bears out to eat kids. And anyways. Daniel, right? We know Daniel. He's a single man there in Babylon. The three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Right, they stood for the Lord, and God used them in a great way to get a hold of the most powerful man's heart, the most powerful man in the world. The Lord used them to get a hold of his heart, and they were just single young men. Yeah, John the Baptist, right, the forerunner of the Messiah. He was likely single. The Bible doesn't say if he was single or married. We don't know, but you think about, would his wife let him dress the way he dressed? That's a question you got to consider. We know the Lord Jesus, right? He's the Savior of the world. And we know he was single adult. Yeah. See, God, I want you to understand this. God can work in your life and through your life in amazing ways. In your present state of life. He can use you in special ways. He can use you to make a difference at your workplace, in your classroom. He can use you in your church to make a difference in the community that you're in. He can use you and work through you to see souls saved, to be an encouragement to churches, to help your pastor, and to really just to make a difference. The Lord can use you in great ways, but the only way the Lord is going to use you like he's used single adults in the past is if you get a hold of what Paul is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 7. And what Paul's really, really stressing and emphasizing. And look at verse number 7, the verse that we read. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 7. Paul writes, he says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Some of you are thinking, I don't know if I believe that. "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." So Paul, he's pointing out singleness is not a bad thing. In fact, in Paul's point of view, it's a good thing. He makes it, I mean, sometimes you think, well, I don't think it's a good thing. Well, Paul said it's a good thing, and God inspired Paul to write that, so God says it's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Well, it gives an opportunity. It's an opportunity from God. In what way? Well, singleness enables believers to simply serve the Lord without distraction. Life is a lot more simple when you're single. I have 4 kids now, and my wife has 5 kids, you know. She's raising me. But life gets a lot more complicated when you start to have a family, you get married, you have kids. We were joking with someone earlier. My family lives in Kansas, so we dropped our kids off there in Kansas, and my wife and I were driving over here, and we're like, I'm not hearing screaming in the back. Life is so much simpler. Yeah. So Paul, he's pointing this out, and the simplicity of this and the blessing of being single is you have the opportunity to serve the Lord in an undistracted manner. If you look back at chapter 6 and verse number 20, we see the context here of what Paul's dealing with. He says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So if you're saved, you ought to serve God. Whether you're married or single, you ought to serve God. You ought to be serving the Lord. If you look down at verse number 35 of chapter 7, we see Paul gives some clarification. He says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." In other words, you can serve the Lord. You can just focus wholeheartedly, whole-mindedly on serving the Lord. You know, there's things that you can do as a single adult that others can't do in the church. In what ways? Well, you can help with projects that some of the older folks can't help with at the church. I love getting single guys in our church to, I'll tell them, hey, we got a remodel project, and I enlist them. And they get voluntold sometimes, you know. But their schedule is a lot more flexible. And so they can do things that others cannot. You know, you can go on missions trips that young marrieds can't, or those with kids cannot. Who's going to watch the kids? Are you going to bring a 3-year-old to Africa? You know, there's things that a lot more that comes into play, right? As a young adult, you can get to church early and you can stay late because you're not worried about kids' bedtimes. Yeah, you can give more and live off less. I'll apply this to the young men. As a single young man, you're okay living off beanie weenies and ramen noodles, right? You can do that. You can handle that. Right?
Yep.
See, singleness, it is an opportunity. And I'll plug this in. You ought to start serving the Lord. If you're not serving Him, you ought to start serving Him right now. Because if you're not serving Him right now, it's just going to get harder and harder as life progresses. Yeah. But Paul acknowledges there are some problems and some struggles with being single. Right? If you look at verse number 9, he says this, "But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Right? Singleness, it has its struggles. It has its problems. You know, I was thinking about, my wife and I, we were talking about this conference and in preparation, and I was reflecting on some of the unique struggles that a single adult would face. And I was thinking back before we got married, you know, some of the struggles that you might deal with. You feel out of place. You feel out of place. You're not married. You don't have kids. You're not a senior saint yet. You know, you're kind of just in this odd phase where you just don't feel like you fit in. You're like a misfit toy. There's that feeling that kind of comes in. And then there's the temptation to spend life on yourself. Right? You don't have any dependents. You don't have a spouse that you're accountable to. And so you can get in your heart and mind, I'm just going to live for me. Me, myself, and I love me some me. I'm gonna buy what I want. I'm gonna go where I want to go. We have a couple in our church that they just got married and they're in their 30s, and so they've been single for, you know, and outside of their parents' home for 15 years, and they got married. And I'll just say it's a struggle because they're learning that they can't live for just me, myself, and I. Right there, but there is that struggle. There's that temptation. There's a temptation to excuse away ministry opportunities to serve the Lord. In what way? Well, you might say, well, I can't have that visitor over to my house because, or my apartment, because I don't even have a dining room table. I got a coffee table. You know, it's like, I can't do that. I can't be involved like maybe that married couple or like that family in the church can be involved. And you can start to make excuses that you can't serve. There can be the feeling that life is stuck in neutral. It's like, well, I really, life hasn't begun until I find the one, until I get married, until I get a career. There's the struggle to develop a personal faith in God. There's the struggle for you to develop, I'm going to rephrase this, for you to develop your own walk with God. And not just, if you grew up in church, not just ride your parents' coattails and their faith. You have to develop your own walk with God. And that can be a struggle. Because you can, and you're, as young adults, you get bombarded, especially if you go to a secular college. I went to a secular college before I went to Bible college, and you start to get bombarded with questions and attacks, those that are attacking your faith in the Lord. I remember in my psychology class that I took, my professor had me stand up and he began to criticize my faith and my belief system. And it was shocking to me, but that happens. That happens. And that can be a struggle. There can be the struggle of loneliness, as the theme suggests. There's the struggle of the unknown. You got your life ahead of you, so it seems. And does God have someone for me? Where does God want me to be? What am I supposed to be doing? There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of struggles that come with being single. But these struggles are not an excuse for you just to live however you want. These struggles are not an excuse to do nothing for God. In fact, it's the opposite. Yeah, Paul points this out. Look at verse number 17, the verses we read. So jump down to verse 17. Paul writes, he says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." If you are saved, if you are a born-again child of God, you ought to live for God no matter your situation. Regardless of your situation of life, you ought to serve the Lord if you're saved. If you're not saved tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, you need to receive Christ as your Savior tonight. Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Yeah. Just because you're young, it doesn't mean your whole life's ahead of you. Your whole life may be another day. And that's it. You need to get saved if you're not saved. But if you are saved, Paul gives us a fundamental rule of Christianity, and it is this. You ought to be a Christian where you are. Where God has you, be a Christian. Right? If you're saved out of a religious background, you ought to be a Christian, right? He talks about circumcision and uncircumcision there in the text, and he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. You have those who were non-religious, you have those who were religious, and Paul's saying, if you were saved out of religion, if you were saved out of a non-religious life, you didn't grow up in church, regardless of what you were saved out of, you have the same calling, and that calling is serve the Lord. Be a Christian. Live for God. That's the focus. That's if you're employed or unemployed, right? He talks about servants. Be a Christian. That's what Paul's stressing. Wherever you're at in life, you ought to live for God. You ought to serve God. You ought not get in your mind, I'll serve God when I find a better situation. Well, when I get married, I'll serve God. Maybe when I have a better job, I'll serve God. No. You need to not be looking for a new situation to serve God. You just need to serve God in the situation He has you in right now. And that's what Paul is stressing that over and over again. You ought to serve God at your church that God has you at. You ought to point others to Him at your workplace. Your workplace is a mission field. Even if it's McDonald's or wherever you work, that's your mission field. You ought to be pointing others to the Lord. You ought to glorify God in your daily life. Why? He says in verse 23, ye are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for you, to save you. He died to save you. It's only right that you live to serve Him. Yeah. Now, with that said, it is easier said than done. Right? It's like, oh yeah, you ought to serve God. Amen. But it can be a struggle to actually do that. It's easier said than done. You know, how do you serve? How do you get involved in serving when you feel like you don't fit in? How do you keep living for God when you feel like no one notices you? You come into church and you kind of just feel like the odd man out or the odd lady out, and you know, you have the married couples over there talking, and you have the older folks over there talking, and you're just kind of there. And then you have the teenagers, and you don't want to hang out with them because they're just losers, right? So, but how do you live for God when you feel out of place? How do you serve? How do you get involved? How do you keep living for God when you're facing all the attacks at college and in your classroom and from peers? How do you live for God when you feel like you have more questions in your life than answers? Well, verse 24 is the answer. Look at verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. In other words, the answer is this: rest content in your gracious God. Rest content in your gracious God. The word that's used there is abide. It's one of my favorite Bible words. Abide. It's the Greek word meno. It means to rest, to remain in a place, to continue in a state. Remain with God. Abide with God. Whatever your situation, abide with God. Rest in His sufficiency. Rely on Him totally. Rest content in the Lord. Because when the Lord is enough for you, you can do anything He asks of you. You can go anywhere He wants you to go when He's enough for you. Because you know, wherever I go, whatever I do, He's with me. I believe this is the most fundamental truth that you need to learn as a young adult. Like, if I could go back and talk to myself when I was in your situation, this is what I would preach to me then. Is that of all the things that you're going to learn, of all the things you're going to strive for in life, and you need to understand right now that what you need most of all is God. You need an abiding relationship with God. Yeah. You need to realize that if you have the Lord, you have everything and everyone that you need. You need to realize that there is no one else and there is nothing else on this earth that can meet the needs that God created in you for Him. You need to get a hold of what David, well, really what got a hold of David. And that's this, Psalm chapter 27, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the Lord in the beauty of His temple. Oh boy, turn there. I'm messing it up. Psalm 27, verse 4. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. I really want to get this right here. Okay. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David knew the one thing I need in life is a relationship with God. I need God every day. See, your relationship with the Lord, it needs to become essential to your daily life. God needs to become the person that you seek out early and often. God needs to become the person that you run to when you have questions. You need to rely on Him more even than your parents. I'm grateful for my parents, but ultimately, your parents aren't always going to be there. The Lord needs to become the person that you run to. The Lord needs to become the person that you unload your burdens onto. The Lord needs to become the one that you trust in, that you confide in. The Lord needs to become the person that is essential to your life. See, if you'll get a hold of this, if you'll abide with God, you'll enjoy the grace of God necessary to live for God as a young adult, as a single adult. See, the temptations of this world, when you're content with God, the temptations of this world, they lose their grip. They don't allure you like they used to. When you're content with the Lord, the attacks on your faith, they're just like water on a duck's back. They just kind of roll off. I remember standing when my psychology teacher had me stand up in front of the class, and he was trying to mock me. I knew his point, and he was a strange duck, nonetheless. But I just remember standing there and being very much unashamed for my faith. Why? Because I knew the Lord. I knew I had a relationship with the Lord. I knew His calling in my life. Yeah. When the Lord is enough, the personal struggles of loneliness, they're quickly remedied. When those feelings of loneliness come in, you think, why can't I be married? Why can't I have someone in my life? Why do I feel so alone? Those feelings, they may come, but they're only temporary. Because you're immediately reminded. Well, the Lord immediately reminds you, I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And what you'll find is, as you are resting content in the Lord, as you're abiding in Him, you'll find God working in your life. You'll find God working through your life in amazing ways. You'll see God beginning to use you like He used some of those great heroes of the faith in the Bible. And it's not really because it's not because you got married. It's not because you got a $100,000 a year job. It's not because you got a new house or a new place to live. It's because you started resting in the Lord. And he became enough. And so life became, well, you became usable to the Lord. Yeah. So I want to challenge you with this. Rest content in your gracious God. The way I'll say it is the wording of the text, abide with him. Abide with God. He is enough.
Well, I just don't feel like it. You just don't know my problems.
Well, I don't, but God does, and he knows he's enough for you. Because if he knew that you needed something else or someone else, he would already given that person or that thing to you. But he knows he's enough for you right now, and he'll always be enough for you, and you need to rest content in him. Yeah. See, when he's enough for you, you can do anything that he asks of you. You can be content being single. You can have grace for the difficulties you go through. You can have grace to be the godly witness, to grace for the difficulties, grace to serve the Lord. You can enjoy all of that if you'll rest content in him. You can enjoy the grace of God wherever you are if you will be content in him where you are. I thought of that song, "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus." How many of y'all heard that hymn? Some of you? I'll read it. It goes like this: who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious? Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Second verse goes like this: love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know how my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. Every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. I want to challenge you. Abide in God. Rest content with him. You're pulled so many different directions. The world tells you you need this or you need that or you need this person. But the truth is you don't need any of that. What you need is the Lord. And you need an active, abiding relationship with God. I remember, I have time to share this testimony. I didn't know if I'd have time. So my parents, they didn't really want me going to a Bible college for different reasons. And my pastor recommended to me, he said, well, you need to honor your parents. And so I, you know, if I was going to live with them, live under them, they're going to pay all my bills, I had to honor my folks. And so I remember agreeing, and I was going to get my associate's degree in animal science. I got a scholarship to be a veterinarian. And I remember going to college, and then I kind of got immersed in that world a little bit, where money became very alluring. And I had gotten offered a scholarship to go to Kansas State University, and it was, I had this struggle. Lord, what do I do? And I knew the Lord had called me to ministry. I knew the Lord had called me to preach. And I thought, Lord, I'm not going to have any money if I'm called to preach, if I'm going to be a preacher. I'm not going to be able to buy the Corvette I always wanted. I'm not going to have the things that I thought I needed. And I remember there came a point where the Lord told me, if you have me, you have everything you need. I remember a year later, I went to Bible college my freshman year. I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College. And after my freshman year, I got the opportunity to intern in Europe for about 5-6 weeks. And I remember sitting there, and the truth of the matter is, if you're called to ministry, that calling, you have to surrender to that daily. It's not something you surrender to one time. It's something you have to surrender to often. And I remember sitting there in a row house on the third floor in Arnhem, Netherlands, thinking, what on earth am I doing? Why did I give up that scholarship? Why am I pursuing this? Lord, this doesn't make any sense. And I remember it was August 3rd, 2012. I remember sitting there, and the verse that I had in my scheduled Bible reading for that day was Psalm chapter 27. And verse number 4 is what stuck out in my mind. One thing have I desired of the Lord, And that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And if the Lord reminded me in that moment, you don't need that old life that you wanted. You don't need all that stuff. You just need to focus on serving me with your life. And I'll take care of all of that. You just need to rest in me. And I realized in that moment, and I made a commitment to the Lord. That actually became my life verse, Psalm 27, verse 4. I made a commitment to the Lord that I am going to seek the Lord with my whole heart like David. I just want to have a good relationship with God. And I trust that if I have that relationship with God, all the other pieces will kind of fall into place. And so if I could challenge you, young person, what you need above anything and everything else is a good and healthy, abiding relationship with God Almighty. And if you'll have that, if he's enough, you'll have everything you need. And you're not going to feel like you're missing out. You're not going to feel alone. You're not going to feel like you're there's things that you don't have that you're not going to be discontent. Yeah. So if I could challenge you, I want to challenge you, abide with God. Abide with God. Abide with him. You might say, well, yeah, I get that. You've said that about 13 times now. Well, how do I do that? We'll talk about that in about an hour. We'll focus in on how can you abide in God? How can you develop a relationship with God? And so, Lord willing, we're going to be focusing on that in the next lesson. So now we're going to pray and we're going to eat. Let's pray.